Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Discover how you can take charge of the all-new Corsa E on opel.ie.
Now, Trinity Professor Roseanne Kenny has long called for increased intake of vitamin D in Ireland. That message has added urgency now because there's evidence that taking vitamin D can lessen the effects of COVID. And Professor Kenny, who's lead investigator with TILDA, the Irish Longitudinal Study on Ageing, joins me now. And just to be clear, Professor, on what the research is telling us, vitamin D won't stop you catching COVID, but it can help with the effects of the disease.
That's correct, Claire, to a point. There are some studies suggesting it may prevent one from getting COVID, but the majority of studies reinforce the fact that vitamin D reduces the severity of the response to COVID.
Okay, so how does it do that then? How does it help the body to suffer less?
So we've known for some time that it positively influences our immune response to both viral and bacterial infections, and that people who have normal levels of vitamin D don't get as frequently respiratory infections due to either virus or bacterial pathogens. We now know that it also influences T cells and B cells and antibody responses, which are shared with COVID. So at a biological level, it influences our body's response to reacting to the COVID infection.
So do you have been taking vitamin D for quite some time before you get COVID in order for it to have this impact? Or could you start taking it as soon as you get your positive test result?
Ooh, that's a really good question. You certainly, to get the maximum benefit from vitamin D with respect to COVID, your levels need to be within a normal range. They need to be above 50 nanomoles per litre. And in order to, you know, it may be that you have that level. However, at this time of the year in Ireland, people over the age of 50, 60% are not at that target level. So it is better to have that normal level going into this. There is still controversy about how to load people should they get the infection, because, but believe it or not, there is some discrepancy in how the loading, the excessive amount of vitamin D, might influence different pathways, and it mightn't beneficially influence those pathways.
So you've got to be careful not to take too much.
Better. You have to be careful not to take too much. So it's much better to be prepared and to have normal levels, and therefore reduce the severity in that way.
So will you talk to us then about what we should be taking when it comes to vitamin D, you know, when it comes to children and adults? What's the recommendation?
So for children, it's around 400 international units. And they can get that from a half a litre of fortified milk, and fortified yogurts will give you that. But very few children can drink that much or eat that much. So it's much better to take supplements, particularly at this time of the year. And then for adults, 800 to 1,000 international units. Now, you have to be careful with vitamin D because it's sold in two different ways. It's sold in international units, and that's what I've just given you. And it's also sold in micrograms. So just be very careful because the micrograms are for adults 20 to 25. So that can be very confusing. So I just like to say to patients and to people, remember the figure 800 when you're speaking to your pharmacist, and you can buy that over the counter.
Okay. And do you need to take it with certain types of foods, fats, for example?
No, that doesn't make any difference. Okay. The foods that are high in vitamin D, if somebody said, I hate taking supplements, I really want to get it from foods, are fatty fish. But you need to eat a lot to get 800 international units. The best way of getting vitamin D is, of course, with sunlight, because what happens is it converts a metabolite just under the skin into active vitamin D. The UVB rays do, but we don't get enough of that in Ireland in winter, or indeed in spring, our levels are low.
Vitamin D was given to vulnerable groups in Spain. That was part of the research that you're referring to, isn't it? What was the result of that experiment?
Their death rates dropped a lot from COVID. Contemporaneous with the increase in vitamin D. And as a result of that data and the emerging data that's been ongoing now for a number of months, Scotland have issued vitamin D to all what it considers vulnerable persons. So that's older people, people in institutional care, and people who have pre-morbid conditions that predispose to COVID. We in Newcastle, they've adopted a very similar, Newcastle UK, very similar approach led by the hospitals there. And despite high rates of COVID in Newcastle, their mortality rates are the fourth lowest in England, although they would have, you know, a socioeconomic grouping that would suggest they should have very high COVID death rates. So their mortality rates are low.
So what you're calling for today is for the government to update the guidelines on vitamin D as a matter of urgency.
In the context of COVID, what the government are saying is, not necessarily the government, but some of their advisors are saying, we have to wait for randomised controlled trials. I'm saying we don't have time to wait for randomised controlled trials. This does no harm. What we're saying, there's no downside to what I've just shared with you. So let's, in advance of the randomized control trials, which are taking place, and the preliminary data from some of those trials are very positive, but, you know, let's use vitamin D, cheap and not with any side effects, to try and reduce our mortality rates from COVID while we wait, not wait.
Professor Kenny, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.